Welcome to Madrid en Inglés, Madrid in English, a tour, a colorful educational tour of our capital, Madrid, and of our province, La Comunidad de Madrid. Learn English with me, with Richard Vaughn, using Madrid as our base of operations. Yeah, let's go. Good morning, good morning, good morning. How are you today? Monday. Today is Sunday. Sunday. I'm getting ahead of myself. Se dice eso mucho en inglés. Me estoy adelantando a mí mismo. I'm getting ahead of myself. Quieto parado. It's Sunday. It's a holiday for most people. A holiday is un día no laborable. And Sunday is a holiday for most people, but not for everybody. Most people. Es un día festivo para la mayoría de la gente. Fijaos cómo lo digo. Most people. La mayoría de la gente. Es correcto decir the majority of the people, pero no se suele decir. Decimos most people. Most. Pero al empezar people con consonante, la T de most se come. Dicen most people. Most people. Most is most. But what we say most. Most people don't work on Sunday, but some people do. Policemen, firemen, hospital personnel, and maintenance personnel, air traffic controllers, pilots, flight attendants. Flight attendants son las azafatas de vuelo, o los azafatas de vuelo, y los sobrecargos. These are flight attendants. Yes, a lot of people. I don't know. I don't know what percentage of the people in Spain work on a Sunday, but I would say maybe 10%. Quite a few. There's a lot of things to do to keep a country, functioning, to keep a city functioning. Requires a lot of attention to keep a city functioning well. For example, Madrid. Madrid is a very interesting and very successful city in the sense of operational functionality. And it's very, very successful. And the traffic system works 99% of the time. The traffic lights are usually... Most traffic lights, most, otra vez sin la, me como la T, la mayoría de los semáforos. Most traffic lights are well synchronized with each other. And of course, the sewage system works well in Madrid. Sewage, escrito sewaje, pronunciado sewage, es el alcantarillado. Las alcantarillas, the sewers. Alcantarilla is sewer. Escrito sewer. Como coser. So, con ER. Sewer is alcantarilla. Y sewaje is el alcantarillado, el proceso. Sewage system. The sewage system in Madrid, of course, is very good. The traffic control is very good. And Madrid is a successful city in operating. But so is Paris, so is Berlin, Rome, more or less, I think. So living in Western culture, if you go to Cairo or you go to, you go to Kinshasa or you go to Karachi in Pakistan, you see it's not necessarily the same. Or you go to Lima and you see what you call Pasos de Cebra, and in Great Britain, in Ireland, they say zebra crossings. In the United States, we don't say zebra crossing. It's interesting that the word las zebras, los animales de África, there are two pronunciations in English. The British and Irish say zebra. And the Americans and Canadians say zebra. So choose which one you like. I recommend zebra. Why? I recommend the American form, usually. Because the British understand it perfectly. Because the British and Irish, of course, are very used to hearing American English in cinema, Hollywood, in television. And so the British people are very familiar with the American pronunciation of words. However, vice versa is not often the case. The Americans and Canadians sometimes are not familiar with how the British pronounce a certain word. And so they say zebra. Well, of course, zebra is easy, but there are other words. And so they could be, pero qué decía? For example, here in Spain, people say video, voy a grabar un video. Of course, in Latin America, people say voy a grabar un video. And so it's a different pronunciation on the other side of the Atlantic. But in any case, so here we are on a Sunday morning talking about Madrid, how everything works well in Madrid, and my life in Madrid. My life, and I have reached the year 1989. Was 1989 a good year? Well, for me, every year in my life has been a good year. I've never had a bad year in my life. But of course, it depends on your definition of good and bad. 1992, 93. You see, for me, a year, para mí un año no es un año natural. Because my work is in education and training, New Year's Day, el Día de Año Nuevo, begins on September 1st for me. And it ends on August 31st. For me, that's the... of course, it's the academic year or the school year. Those two terms we use for el año académico. The academic year, the school year. And so for me, that's a year. The year for me, everything starts in September. But in any case, so every year has been good. Now, the year September 1992, 1993 was a bad year for my company because there was a recession in Spain. The economy declined. In the year 2000-2001, there was a recession, the dot-com bust, and so it was a difficult year for my company. In the year 2009-2010, the worst moment of the Great Recession was a difficult year for the company, but those were good years for me in any case. What you need to understand, if you're a business person, a businessman or a businesswoman, if you own a company, if you run your own company, recessions, contracciones económicas, crisis, can sometimes be good. It's different. For example, in my company has always been strong financially. Even when it was small in the 1980s, my company was strong. So when a recession came, I lost some of my volume, some of my business volume, volumen de negocio, sales, but my competitors even more. So for me, the recessions that I have experienced in Spain have been positive in a certain way because my company has come out stronger in the end because many of my competitors died during the recession. The strong survive, so it's a Darwinian or Darwinist consideration here. And so I'm not afraid of recessions because I know that I will survive them because my company is based on strong financials and no debt, nada de deuda, endeudamiento cero. And so and good cash position. The word cash position is posición de, o situación de tesorería. Cash. Págamelo en cash. Cash. Metálico, efectivo, but we say cash and tesorería. And so with good cash management, a company can usually survive a recession quite easily. The company suffers, usually, a fall in sales, una caída en las ventas, but the company survives, but many of the competing companies don't. And so the industry or the sector in which my company performs or operates becomes smaller, and so I'm in a better position than before the recession to take advantage of the new repunte, the new upswing. Swing is columpiar. Swing, pero columpiar hacia arriba. Upswing is a repunte en la economía, the new upswing. When the economy begins to recover, during the recovery. Recuperación se dice recovery. No solemos decir recuperation. No decimos recuperation. We say recovery. All right. But I didn't come here to talk about my business. I'm talking about Madrid and my life in Madrid in 1989. What was important in 1989 in Madrid? Well, Real Madrid won the league. Real Madrid had La Quinta de Buitre, you know, with Butragueño, Michel. I can never remember the names. Martin Vázquez. Yes, son tres. Let's see. Butragueño, Michel, Martin Vázquez, El Defensa. I can't remember his name. And they had Hugo Sánchez. Incredible player. Very, very good player. Very good player. And they, well, they lost in the, they won the league, but they didn't reach the finals or the semifinals in the Champions Cup. At that time, they call it the La Copa de Europa, the European Cup. Now it's called the Champions. And so they, but they lost to Milan, El Milan. It's interesting that in Spanish, the name of the important city in northern Italy is called Milan. Milan. Stressing the second syllable, Milan. However, the football club is called El Milan. Changing the pronunciation. Madrid, the Real Madrid, lost in the San Siro. 2-0. I mean, Milan, that was a very, very good team. I mean, they had Ruud Gullit. Remember Gullit? Rijkaard, who later became the coach of Barcelona. And, of course, Marco van Basten. Really good team. They were good, eh? Then on the return, the game in the Bernabeu, por ahí no dicen Bernabeu, fuera de España no, dicen, bueno, in Great Britain and Ireland, they say Bernabeu. Quema una proa, la proa de un barco se dice bow. Burn, como quemar, burn a bow, Bernabeu, como si fuera quema una proa. Bernabeu is the pronunciation in the English-speaking world of El Estadio Santiago Bernabéu, in the Bernabéu. But then they defeated El Milan, the Milan team, AC Milan, 1-0 in Bernabéu, but that was not enough, so they didn't advance in the European Cup eliminations. Yes. That year, Drazen Petrovic played for Real Madrid basketball team. You remember Drazen Petrovic. He was from Yugoslavia, more specifically from Serbia or Croatia. Was Petrovic Croatian or Serbian? I think he was Croatian. Yes. Was Petrovic Serbian or Croatian? I don't remember. Let's see. He's Serbian. No, Petar, no. No, no, I want to know. Drazen Petrovic. Drazen. Let's see. Drazen Petrovic. Let's see. Drazen Petrovic was Croatian. All right. He was a very, very good basketball player. And he played, of course, for the Yugoslav national team before Yugoslavia broke up into different countries. And then he played in Real Madrid. And then he played in the NBA, I believe, for the Portland Trail Blazers. And then for the New Jersey Nets, I can't remember. Very good. He scored 62 points in one game with Real Madrid basketball. So what was happening in Madrid? Well, finally, I think, I don't remember when, you know, in Cibeles Square, you have the city hall, you know, the Ayuntamiento, que era el Palacio de Telecomunicaciones, the post office. And then opposite that, you have the, on the other side of the Paseo del Prado, you have the Banco de España. And then diagonally across from the city hall, you have the Palacio de, which is el Cuartel General del Ejército. Very beautiful, very nice. I can't remember what the name of that is. Yes. Let me ask. I'm going to ask ChatGPT. What's the name of the palace in Madrid? Cibeles. That is the army headquarters. Army headquarters. Palacio Vista Alegre. I don't remember. All right, let me see if I can get an answer here. Palacio Buena Vista. All right. Yes. Cuartel General del Ejército de Tierra. Yeah. Palacio Buena Vista. I think that no me suena. Maybe let me pull it out. Let me pull it out. Fijaos como lo digo. To pull is tirar para ti, hacia ti. To pull. Lo contrario de empujar is to pull. To push and to pull. Pero cuando quieres sacar algo, descargarlo de internet, to pull it out. Para que parezca en el Palacio de Buena Vista. Now let's see if that is. Let's see if I can find a picture of it. Ahí está. Yes. Palacio de Buena Vista. Yes. I've been there many times because I am. Soy infante de honor del ejército español. Okay. So, I've been invited there many times. In fact, they gave me the award, the premium, about 14 or 15 years ago, Fulgencio Coll, when he was the Jefe de Estado Mayor del Ejército de Tierra. He now lives in Palma de Mallorca. He's Mallorquín. And he gave it to me in the Palacio de Buena Vista. And then, on the fourth corner, you have four corners in Cibeles. You have the Banco de España, Palacio Buena Vista, Cuartel General del Ejército. You have the City Hall in Correos. And then you have the Palacio de Linares. Now, at that time in 1989, there was an article saying that the Palacio de Linares had ghosts. Then it was haunted. Hay leyendas urbanas. Urban legends. You know, it was a center. They say it was a center of macabre legends involving incest, infanticide, and ghosts. I don't know if that's true. And I remember that I came to Spain in 1972 as a student. And by 1989, 17 years later, the Palacio de Linares was still dilapidated. Later, I don't know in what year. In what year was the Palacio de Linares renovated? I mean, that was maybe in 1990, 1990. I really don't know. 1992, the restoration. After years of neglect, negligencia, neglect is dejadez, abandono, the palace underwent se sometió a, to undergo, underwent significant restoration to house the Casa de América. All right, that was it. Yes, but in 1989, it was still dilapidated, and it was full of, according to the legends, it was full of ghosts, bad things, macabre things that had happened. But I have to take a break. I'll be right back.
Si has sufrido violencia sexual, llama al 900-599-316. En el Centro de Crisis 24 Horas de la Comunidad de Madrid te ofrecemos atención psicológica, asistencia jurídica y apoyo social. Siempre disponibles para ayudarte. 900-599-316. No importa la hora ni el día, estamos siempre para ti. Campaña financiada por la Unión Europea Next Generation Plan de Recuperación Gobierno de España. Comunidad de Madrid.
¿Tienes previsto un traslado? Elige Estebaranz, porque no todas las mudanzas son iguales. Rapidez, garantía y seriedad, nuestros mejores argumentos. Mudanzas y guardamuebles Estebaranz, a tu lado transportando tus ilusiones.
Abuelo, quiero trabajar, pero me piden mil cosas digitales.
Apúntate a los cursos gratis de Madrid Aula Digital. Yo fui el otro día uno.
¿Tú?
Claro, aprendí a evitar fraudes en internet y hasta manejo mejor el móvil. También hay cursos para ayudarte a encontrar empleo.
auladigital.comunidad.madrid. Me inscribo ya.
Proyecto financiado por la Unión Europea. Next Generation. Plan de recuperación. Gobierno de España. Comunidad de Madrid.
101.3 y 106 FM. Onda Madrid.
Hello again. How are you? I'm back. I'm back. Back for more. Yes. Talking about 1989 in Madrid. Where did I live? Where was I living? ¿Dónde viví? ¿Dónde vivía? ¿Dónde estaba viviendo? Where was I living? I was living on Virgen del Val Street in Barrio de la Concepción. In 1989, my daughter turned 9 in July, and my son turned 5. My son turned 5, yes. So my son began primary school, yes, in 1989. And me, what was I doing in 1989? Well, I was married, happily married. And I was living in a flat of 96 square meters. I preferred a modest life, because I was spending a lot of money on my children's education in good schools, and I was and we were traveling to the United States almost every year, and so that was to take 4 people to the United States and spend a month required a little bit of money, and so but I've always been very conservative with my money. I don't know why, but I've always been very conservative with my money, and I recommend it. Okay, I've never gone into debt except for mortgages, hipotecas, and things. But let's go back to 1989. What was happening besides football and basketball and the Palacio de Linares? Well, what happened in Spain in 1989? There was a general election in October. Yes. Who won? Well, I'm sure you remember. The Spanish Socialist Workers Party, El PSOE, won. Felipe González, his 3rd consecutive victory. Yeah. And how many seats did the Socialist Party obtain in the Congress of Deputies? They obtained 175 seats. 1 seat shy of an absolute majority, almost an absolute majority. But it was very easy for Mr. González to continue in the Moncloa because I think Jordi Pujol or the Basques, as usual, como de costumbre, as usual, gave support. And so Mr. González was in the government for another 4 years. All right. And what else happened in 1989? Well, Spain began, the González government began cutting a lot of cutting the deficit, the fiscal deficit. So the Gonzalez administration introduced a lot of strict or stringent economic policies to prepare for Spain's integration into the European, into the single market, el mercado único. You see, Spain became a member of the European Economic Community, or European Union, in 1986, January 1st, 1986. But there was an idea of creating a mercado único, a single market. You may remember, I think it was had to do with los acuerdos de no sé qué. And so it was necessary to bring the fiscal deficit, déficit fiscal nacional, to bring it down to 3%. And I think, if I remember right, fijaos, parecía, si mal no recuerdo, en si anything else, si recuerdo bien, if I remember right, the Gonzalez government was quite successful in bringing down costs in order to reach the objective of 3%. Yes. So that was in 1989. So it was an important year. Every year is important. Also, the Movida Madrileña continued, etc., etc. I can't remember anything else really, really important. But in the world, there was a very important event. One of the most important events of the second half of the 20th century. And that was the fall of the Berlin Wall. La caída del muro de Berlín. The fall of the Berlin Wall. When did it happen? It happened on my birthday in 1989. November 9th. La Almudena in Madrid, which is a holiday in Madrid. Madrid celebrates my birthday with a holiday every year. So, the Berlin Wall fell. Yes, which had for 28 years, exactly, divided East and West Berlin. And this symbolized the coming in, not the end of the Cold War, but it was clear that the end of the Cold War was coming. So this was a pivotal moment, an important moment that later allowed for the reunification of Germany. Yes, and freedom for Eastern Europe. You remember the Pacto de Varsovia, you know, you had the Soviet Union and then Poland, East Germany, Romania, Hungary, Czechoslovakia, Yugoslavia and Bulgaria, basically. I'm forgetting. Me olvido that. But I can't. But then that was the Eastern Europe, and it was called the Comic-Con. And Comic-Con was the market as opposed to the European Economic Community. But that changed. Everything began changing on November 9th. 1989, with the fall of the Berlin Wall. And also in December, later, 1 month later, in December 1989, George H.W. Bush, George Bush father, met with Mikhail Gorbachev in Malta. It's called La Cumbre de Malta. I remember that, the Malta sub. And they effectively or officially declared the end of the Cold War. All right. Okay. The end of the Cold War. 2 years later, in 1991, the Soviet Union collapsed. And they created the Russian Federation. All right. And because of the fall of the Berlin Wall, there was a wave of anti-communist movements and protests in Eastern Europe. And to the fall, finally, the fall of communist regimes in countries such as Poland, Hungary, East Germany, Bulgaria, Czechoslovakia, and Romania. All right. Most of them were peaceful. For example, in Czechoslovakia, they had what is called the Velvet Revolution. Me gusta la palabra esa. La revolución aterciopelada, o del terciopelo. It's a nonviolent Velvet revolution, no me sale, led to the end of the communist rule. All right. And do you remember Tiananmen Square in Beijing? In Peking? In English, you can say Peking or Beijing. Aquí en España se suele decir todavía Peking. You know, Beijing. In English, we're evolving towards Beijing now as the standard pronunciation of the capital of China. But there were demonstrations in China, pro-democracy, in April of 1989. And a lot of Chinese were killed in the crackdown. The crackdown means medidas enérgicas contra, to crack down on the protests. And it was a scandal worldwide. And Deng Xiaoping was the strongman in China. And he was paradoxically the man who opened up China and promoted capitalism or market economies to function in China. But when it got too much, when se desmadró, well, he decided, we will allow for a market economy and capitalist-style economy, but the Communist Party will remain in power. There will be no democracy, no free elections, etc. And to this day, it's the same. It hasn't changed in since 1980, when Deng Xiaoping began. What else happened in the world? Well, I don't know. Well, there was an invasion. The United States invaded Panama. Do you remember Manuel Noriega? He was a military leader or military dictator in Panama. And he was involved in drug smuggling and drug business, quite similar to Venezuela today. And the U.S. under George Bush father invaded Panama. Yes, and they took Manuel Noriega prisoner and then took him back to the United States. Yes. And how long was Noriega in prison? Because he died only last year, I think, in the U.S. All right. I don't remember. He was in prison for almost 17 years. He was captured during the U.S. invasion of Panama in December 1989 and later convicted on drug trafficking, racketeering and money laundering charges in 1992. He served his sentence in a Miami federal prison until 2007, when he was extradited to France. I didn't know that. This is new for me. Fue extraditado a Francia en 2007. He was extradited to France in 2007, and he served prison time in France. And then France extradited him to Panama in 2011, where he remained in prison until his death in 2017. Okay, so he died about 8 years ago. 8 years ago. Mr. Noriega. And that was it. That was basically what was happening in the world. There was a terrible disaster in Sheffield in Great Britain, in England, where a lot of people, 96 people died in a football stadium because they were crushed because of bad organization of the entrance of people. So it was a tragedy. The Hillsborough disaster, it's called. But me, what was I doing? I was in Madrid working. Where did I go on vacation? In 1989, I don't remember, but I'm sure. I'm pretty sure I went on vacation to the United States. Well, always, every summer until 2019, I went to the States for at least 1 month, usually for about 5 weeks with my family. And during the winter, my wife and I usually took a 1 week trip. Sometimes to Paris in the winter, or even I remember once, we went to Scotland in the week after the holidays in early December. You know that in Spain, December 6th is el Día de la Constitución. So it's a national holiday. And 2 days later, the December 8th is la Inmaculada Concepción. And so it's un acueducto más que un puente, for depending on what days those holidays fall on. And so I usually decide to take trips on the following week or the week prior. I usually prefer to travel in moments when other people are working and not traveling. Because I'm my own boss, I have more freedom to make these decisions. Moraleja, intenta ser tu propio jefe en el futuro, que tus hijos sean. It's because you have more freedom. But I remember one year, not 1989, we went to Scotland in the third week of December. And it got dark at 4:30. It didn't get light until 9 o'clock. From 9 o'clock to 4:30, we had daylight because it was so dark. And we had 6 perfect days of blue skies. It was cold, but the weather was perfect. Everybody was surprised. They said, "My God, come back to Scotland more often. If you come to Scotland and bring such good weather, no rain, no fog, no drizzle of llovizna, nothing." And so, and it was a nice trip. But I don't have time to talk about that trip because I'm out of time again, but I need to take a break. But I'll be right back, so don't go away, okay?
Raya que te metes, vida que destrozas. La tuya, la de tu familia, la de tus amigos, todas. La cocaína destroza todo lo que quieres. Plan Regional contra las Drogas. Comunidad de Madrid.
Restaurante J, cocina vasca, un referente de buena mesa en Chamberí, con la sencillez y honestidad de la cocina de siempre, donde comer bien, sin tontunas, con familia, amigos, tu cuadrilla, verduras, guisos de temporada y pescados salvajes al centro de la mesa. Restaurante J, una cocina para siempre, a 50 metros de la Glorieta de Bilbao. Reserva y disfruta.
¿Sabías que la música clásica también la escuchas en las bandas sonoras de cine, en los anuncios de radio y televisión?
Te invitamos a descubrirlo en La Batuta Mágica, el clásico de Onda Madrid.
Sábados y domingos a las 3 de la tarde. La Batuta Mágica.
Con Santiago Acedo, en Onda Madrid.
Abuelo, quiero trabajar, pero me piden 1000 cosas digitales.
Apúntate a los cursos gratis de Madrid Aula Digital. Yo fui el otro día uno.
¿Tú?
Claro, aprendí a evitar fraudes en Internet y hasta manejo mejor el móvil. También hay cursos para ayudarte a encontrar empleo.
auladigital.comunidad.madrid. Me inscribo ya.
Proyecto financiado por la Unión Europea. Next Generation. Plan de recuperación. Gobierno de España. Comunidad de Madrid.
101.3 y 106 FM. Onda Madrid.
Hello again and welcome back. Okay, I was talking about my life in Madrid in 1989. My most important client was Ericsson, Telecomunicación. That was my most important client. My second most important client was probably John Deere, Hondere, the tractor maker. Other important clients, I don't remember, but I had many. The company was going very well. It's going very well. But as usual, almost every day, I drove to Getafe or to Leganés. But sometimes to Alcobendas, sometimes to Tres Cantos. I remember, Nivea, Bayersdorf, Nivea. They moved. Nivea, the German cosmetics company, face cream, hand cream, very good company, very strong company, outstanding company. They were in the area near Atocha station for many years, and then they moved to Tres Cantos. And because it was a client, I started going to Tres Cantos quite often. And I also went to Coslada and to San Fernando. because I had clients there. And so I started more and more clients as my company grew. Fijaos como lo digo en inglés. Conforme crecía mi compañía, mi empresa. As, dos letritas, A-S. A medida que, conforme, según crecía mi empresa. As my company grew, I had more and more corporate clients because my business was B2B. B-A-B, o sea, business to business. I didn't offer English training to the general public. I offered it to companies. Now I offer it to the general public. In fact, I'm giving it to you right now. But it was, at that time, no. And so my company was growing because I was gaining more and more clients. Also, I remember Glaxo and many others, the pharmaceutical company, which now is GlaxoSmithKline. But it was, I remember, and often, because my wife's grandfather or grandparents had a house in Santa Ladrada. So I remember from time to time we drove from Madrid through Alcorcón, Mostoles, Villa Viciosa de Odón, and then Brunete, Quijorna. I remember Villanueva de Perales, Chapinería, I remember. Navas del Rey, ¿qué más? Pelayos de la Presa, you know these places. San Martín de Valle Iglesias, Cadalso de los Vidrios, Cenicientos, and then finally entering the province of Ávila. And it was an ordeal. Ordeal means, how do you say ordeal in Spanish? Let me see if I can find out. Let me ask ChatGPT. How do you say in Spanish? It was an ordeal. Yeah, let's see. Fue un odiseo, un calvario. All right. Se dice ordeal. O sea, se escribe ordeal. Se pronuncia ordeal, un suplicio, pesadilla. Calvario, dice, to drive on Friday afternoon or Saturday morning from Madrid to Sotil Radrada, passing through Alcorcón and Mostoles and then Brunete. And it was interesting that the traffic was so heavy going there that sometimes it took 2 hours. And things. And there were people selling food and drinks along the side of the highway. Also, there was a different route. You could go through Navalcarnero, and it was even worse. But nevertheless, that was... So I'm maybe 5 times a year, 5 weekends, I went to Sotillo. It's an interesting area, El Valle del Tietar. It's an interesting area in Spain. But in the province of Madrid, you have Cadalso de los Vidrios, which is a very, very interesting place. And Cenicientos as well. Very interesting. I mean, the province of Madrid is a bit strange. When you look at the shape, it's very strange because you can see it looks like an animal with pata delantera, which is Cenicientos, Cadalso de los Vidrios. And then the pata trasera, which is Aranjuez. And it strains at Aranjuez. I mean, Aranjuez should belong to Toledo, but it doesn't. And why not? Why somebody, probably the royal family, the Bourbons, maybe it was Felipe V or Carlos III or Fernando VI, one of these. Maybe they made the decision when they built the palace. I don't know when the palace was built. When was the Aranjuez Palace built? I should know this, but I don't. When was it built? The Royal Palace of Aranjuez was built in different phases. Fijaos cómo se dice fases. Phases. pero para mis amigos españoles recomiendo que eviten la palabra y digan stages, etapas, y no fases. Stages, because Spanish people cannot pronounce phases correctly. Phase, they say face, y eso es cara. Face, no, phase, Zaragoza. Susana está en Zaragoza, phase. Esa Z inglesa que cuesta horrores a hispanohablantes decir. Entonces, cuando dicen fase, un nativo entiende cara, phase. No, phase. And so I recommend stage, stage, stage. Como las etapas del Tour de France. Stage, stage. In 1564, Philip II ordered the construction of the palace of Aranjuez on the site of a previous medieval hunting lodge. Okay. Yes. And the design was influenced by architect Juan Bautista de Toledo, who also worked on El Escorial. Ah. And in the 1580s, the work was continued by Juan de Herrera. But construction was slow and remained incomplete for many years. And finally, 200 years later, in the 18th century, King Philip V, the Primer Bourbon, Felipe V, resumed construction. Resume, no es resumir. Se escribe resume, resume, el infinitivo, el verbo. Significa reanudar. Cuidado, es un falso amigo. Resume. Resume construction, and later Ferdinand VI and Charles III completed and expanded the palace, giving it its final Baroque and neoclassical style. All right. Yes. Why is the city of Aranjuez in the province of Madrid when it is so clearly within the province of Toledo physically? That's the question for me. Yes. Great question. Aranjuez is indeed located at the southernmost edge of the community of Madrid. It's surrounded by Toledo. All right. Royal designation. It's a sitio real, real sitio, Aranjuez. So it's under control of the Spanish monarchy. All right. I think that was the reason that the Spanish royalty concluded that they wanted Aranjuez to remain part of the community of Madrid. Yes. And it's also true that if you look at, for example, Cenicientos, and even Cadalso de Vidrios, Rosas de Puerto Real, I mean, they should be part of Ávila or part of Toledo, really. But in any case, but Madrid has an interesting province. I don't know how many municipalities there are. And Richard, what is your favorite municipality in the community of Madrid? I don't know. My favorite municipality. The most important is Madrid proper, the capital. But I would say that Getafe and Leganés have been the two most important municipalities or towns in my life in the province of Madrid for business reasons, simply because the two most important clients I have had in my life, corporate clients, were John Deere Iberica, located in Getafe, and Ericsson. Leganés, in Intelsa Ericsson, located in Leganés. Part of John Deere moved to Parla, so the sales part of John Deere moved from Getafe to Parla quite a few years ago. And Ericsson now is no longer located in Leganés. Ericsson, in around the year 2001, 2002, in the late 1990s, Ericsson moved the headquarters to the building at the end of, near the bus station at the end of Méndez Álvaro, donde el corte inglés, hipercorte Méndez Álvaro, right there. A very attractive building, and it's Ericsson is still located in that building. And they also located in areas near the Parque Juan Carlos I in that area because it was growing so fast. So not my two favorite municipalities or towns are Leganés and Getafe, but I have a lot of affection for these two. My favorite probably is, I like Cenicienta and Casals Los Vidrios. I think they're really cool. And they have some interesting wines in that area as well. And then, my God, also going all the way up to Somosierra y La Cebeda, up in the north where Napoleon Bonaparte came through in order to come down and occupy Madrid. There are a lot of very interesting places. Guadalixta la Sierra is very interesting. Miraflores, of course. And Soto del Real and Manzanares el Real, right there. And then you go up to Rascafría and you go up into the mountains. Lozoya. You know, it's interesting about Madrid. I've been to 34 countries in my life. In Latin America, I've been to Peru, Mexico, and Colombia, and the Dominican Republic. In Europe, I've been to, 20 countries. In Africa, I've been to Egypt and to Morocco only. In Asia, I've been to China 4 times. I've been to Israel. I've been to Turkey. And I've been to Russia, which is really the European part of Russia. The tap water in Madrid is the best in the world. And I've been, of course, lived in Texas and in Oklahoma. The tap water is good in Texas and Oklahoma. The tap water is good in the United States, but nothing compares. Agua de grifo with the tap water in Madrid. Yo siempre digo agua del ayun. Is it del ayun del Sahara? No, del ayuntamiento. I ask sometimes, no, me trae agua del ayun. ¿Y eso qué marca es? No, del ayuntamiento. Tap water, because I'm convinced that the Madrid tap water is the best in the world. People in Madrid have no reason to complain about the tap water. It's very, very good. And it comes down from, of course, from Lozoya. It comes down from the Guadarrama. Yes, la Sierra de Guadarrama, where you have a lot of very interesting places. Navarredonda, you have Gascones, you have Pinilla del Valle, Alameda del Valle, Rascafría, of course. And then, of course, you have Navacerrada, and you have the Puerto de los Leones, etc. It's very, very nice. It's a very nice area, protected in part by the Guadarrama, and you can notice the mountains coming down on down, coming down, 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 on the way down to the Tajo. But I have to go now. I have once again run out of time. But I'll be back next week, next Sunday. Take care.